Well, if you will repeat after me, Lord Jesus, thank you that my eyes do see. My ears do hear. And my spirit does perceive what you're saying to me. Amen? I wanted to give you what he pressed into my heart today. And that is, he gave me the title, Fear-Driven Decisions. Fear-driven decisions will cause all kinds of wrong, destructive results. Fear-driven decisions will cause all kinds of wrong, destructive results.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said. Wow. I said, Lord, you want me to share that today? He said, yep. What about the scriptures? And about a dozen came into my head.
Yep.
But you see, you need to know what causes these destructive results. Sometimes we have an issue with circumstances and you're saying to yourself, how in the world did I get myself into this? And you can fill in the blank because you'll use a different word. But it's really because you were reactionary instead of being progressive towards God. So obviously, 2 Timothy 1:7 came into my heart. God did not give us a spirit of fear. So who gave us the spirit of fear?
See?
Notice it's a spirit of fear. So you're not the culprit.
Thank you, God.
Your battle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. Okay? So you need to be aware that that spirit of fear is very alive in the church. Very alive. It's very alive in the average family. And I had a highlight this morning. I had my first cup of coffee as I studied the word and went into the realm of the spirit for a little while, and then it was time to take a break and get some breakfast food, and so I turned on the TV so I could do two things at once, catch up on the news and have my breakfast. And they were talking about our president being in Florida, and then this interview that they had through Skype with a young man that looks almost identical to my neighbor. And this young man was there as maybe the first or the first few people who lined up at the place where he was going, where the president was going to be speaking yesterday. And from what I heard after they discussed things with him, because did anybody watch what happened yesterday? Okay, so this young man with the black T-shirt, some kind of an emblem in front of him.
Yeah.
Huh?
It was great.
Yeah. I didn't get to see the whole thing yet. I just saw the re-interview from this morning.
Oh, you're going to love it.
He's now world famous. Yeah.
You're going to love it. Can I tell you?
Sure.
He was outside, and he was at the head of a line waiting for the Trump convention. He got there at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
He wanted to be first in line.
Come on.
When they interviewed him, he said something to the effect that this man has done, meaning Donald Trump, has done so much for us that he needs to know how much we care about him and how much we support him. And all of us here, he's just going to love seeing all of us here when he comes, because he knows that but for us, is he where he is?
Right.
And then when when Donald Trump's, I follow everything. I'm hooked, I think. I see so much. I learn so much. I'm just hooked. Anything he's doing, I'm like right there, you know? But when he started speaking, Donald Trump was looking around, and he tends to pay attention to the audience and all, and then he looks around and he sees in front, and his eyes go like eagle eye, you know? He goes right to that person. He says, I think you're the one. You're the one that I saw on TV. You're the one. You're the one. It's people like you. I need you to come up here.
All right, now.
I need you to come up here. Well, I don't know what happened. The cameras don't go on, that sort of thing. But, and Donald Trump kept calling him as he was trying to get up there. And he said, come on, come on, come on. He says,
come on now, get up here.
And so the man, what was so humorous too, the man gets to the end of the stage, not on the stage, but to the end. Well, the Secret Service are grabbing him and holding him back, trying to pull him back, and Donald Trump goes, oh no, he's one of us. Oh no, no, they're trying to pull him back. No, no, let him come, let him come. Oh, look at him jump that wall. Let him come, let him come. So finally, the man gets up there. It causes your spirit to jump, because that man must be maybe in his 40s, maybe.
Late 30s.
Something like that.
Right.
Well, that man gets up there, and Donald Trump says, the only thing I'm concerned about is that he's going to kiss me. You know, and he had like, you know, he doesn't laugh much, but he has that sense of humor, right? Well, the man, once he got on the stage, he didn't know what to do. He like was holding his head. He like was so excited and all, and he ran toward Donald Trump, and he didn't kiss him. It looked like he was going to kiss him, but he went over, and he might have remembered him saying that or something, and he went over, and he grabbed him, and he put his head on his shoulder.
Amen.
And President Trump hugged him, too, and then he said, go ahead, you say a few words.
The man's like,
you know, he's there, you know, and he's like, he's there. You know, like getting the okay, and Donald Trump says, you go right ahead. So Donald Trump backs away, and the man gets up there, and he goes, he just started speaking, you know, how happy he is, how joyful he is inside, you know, that Donald Trump is our president, and he just his expression, and then Donald Trump, he went to leave the stage. He turned back, and Donald Trump was like this. Well, he ran back to get that handshake. And then Donald Trump whispered something in his ear. And then he said, a star is born, Donald Trump said. And from then on, I mean, this man is just so, he just didn't know how to say thank you. He just didn't.
In front of 9,000 people, too.
He didn't, I don't think it even fazed him. It's like he said, it's like, I made it. I'm up here with the president. It's like, oh, this is so cool. It was touching. It was just great to see a president be so real.
Yep.
And he says after, and that's my last comment. He says after, he says, I'm sure the Secret Service wasn't happy about all that. But he says, they'll get over it. You know?
And when you said he was there at 4 o'clock, this is what the Lord spoke to me. See, step out and I'll be there. Come on now.
Yep, 4 in the morning.
Well, you know, what I watched this morning while I was having my breakfast is he was being interviewed on Fox and Friends. And he was giving his version of now trying to recover. He said, I haven't slept all night.
He's so excited.
And sure,
so he's so excited because he says, I am a star. And then he made this comment. He said, this is the first time that we have a president that thinks like me. It's simple. It's not complicated. It's common sense.
Come on.
And he let all this out, and it was truly a joyful moment. Going back now. Fear-driven decisions will cause all kinds of wrong, destructive results. Mm-hmm. When you and I are afraid of a people in this country, what happens? Are we really realizing that Jesus is on the job, that this is his country? Or are we aware that, you know, we might get destroyed? Well, in reality, St. Paul says, hey, If I'm not here in this flesh, where am I?
I'm with him.
With him.
I'm instantly with the Lord. So what can they do to me?
Nothing.
Amen? What can they really do to me? All right? The next level of fear tactics trying to pressure us because we're afraid that maybe we're missing out on something, or maybe that we'd have a better paying job if we just applied ourselves to this or that. That's all fear driven. And so when you and I bow to the spirit of fear, Romans 6:16 says, to whom you bow to, you become a slave to. So the Lord says, I want you to share what the average believer does. And yes, every one of us is average. I am not in a superior mode. I am not a lesser mode. I am an average person. This young man is an average young man that has come alive because somebody is saying, yeah, he's on our side. He wants us to have a job instead of getting a welfare check.
Amen.
Somebody touched him.
Yes.
Like that woman that went, you know, all she needed was just a touch.
Exactly. So, you know, a few weeks, last week, I went on Paula White's website. And I understand that Paula White was the instrument that God used when then Donald Trump called her from New York and asked her, do you ever come to New York? And so she became an average pastor going to Fifth Avenue, I believe is Trump Towers.
Yes, yeah.
And ministered to him, and he was born again. So is it possible that she didn't bow to fear?
It is.
It is also possible she was afraid because she shared that. She said there was a lot of trepidation in her heart. Is this a setup? Why would God allow this man in New York to call me down in Texas to go up there? And she said he didn't know that I was actually leading a Bible study at the time with one of the, I think it's the New York Giants. So, not the Yankees, relax.
Oh, I'm Red Sox, Red Sox.
But the bottom line is, had she bowed to fear, would we have the man that we have today?
Probably not.
Not the same.
Then they showed another aspect of how things are going. And they showed Melania when Irene got up saying the Lord's Prayer. Well, when's the last time you heard a first lady
come on
give out the Lord's Prayer out loud, which is not her native language, and she read it?
Where was this?
At the convention.
At the hangar yesterday.
In that hangar.
Yeah.
And she read the whole thing beautifully. Yes, she has broken English, but hey, she speaks five languages. Compete with a few yo-yos out there.
And Donald Trump said he didn't even know she was going to say that. And he said, good job, honey. He said, I didn't even know
she read the whole thing from beginning to end, even to the end, saying, you know, to God be the glory.
Amen.
Forever. That's the first lady. I know a few other first ladies that were involved in witchcraft. And it was common knowledge, and nobody got excited about that. But the bottom line is, those that have their own agenda for the White House criticized her. She got all kinds of backlash on other stations, and they showed excerpts of it. And Irene and I are looking at each other, and she says, Kim, I can't believe what I'm hearing. Fear driven decisions will cause. Fear driven decisions will cause.
Did you watch the news conference on Friday? My husband and I were just laughing and cheering hysterically talk about somebody standing.
Oh, I saw some of it. Yes.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, you mean when he was answering all the politicians?
The media. All in their place.
Yeah, he fixed their wagon.
He sure did.
They needed to be trimmed.
There were no ears.
Amen.
I love it. When you have a better tone, when you have a better.
Yeah, and you can tell most of those other stations. I mean, when you listen to them, it gets to me. And I have to watch out because I had a reaction in my insides, and I want to just, you know, and I say, Lord, wait a minute, let me shut this down because I'm just going to be in the wrong space. So it's time to switch the channel.
I did. I switched because the channel that we were on was criticizing severely.
Yeah.
So I switched over to Fox. No criticism. No.
Why? Because, again, the man is doing a job for our nation. Yeah. And some have a plan. And, in fact, I listened again. And I'm not trying to tear anybody up. I'm not against this one or that one, but I am seeing what God is saying. Fear-driven decisions will cause all kinds of reactions. And what about decisions that you know are made under the anointing of love? When you make an anointing of love decision, what is the fruit?
Peace.
I mean, when I obey the Holy Spirit, there's an anointing on me, and I know it's there. When I went to that hospital on Friday and ministered to Bob, you know, I knew, even as I was right there holding him, talking to him, I could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. There was a blanket on me, and I knew it. And it wasn't covering just me. It was covering Judy's husband. Would I have ever believed that less than 12 hours, he was going to be with Jesus? He probably gave him a report on me. Well, yeah. Look at your neighbor. Say, God reports. But so does man. And I do talk about you. To Jesus.
All the time.
Love-driven decisions will bring
peace.
They'll bring harmony. It'll bring healing. And it'll reestablish the body of Christ the way it was designed. After I shared that dream, I wrote it all down. And I said to the Lord, I don't like what I'm perceiving. And I had a flashback. You know when God brings you back in time? I like it when he brings me back in time, especially if it's an exciting moment, because I've had a few. So I'm back in time. I still own the furniture business at the time, so it's 1980, 81. And there was a gentleman who actually was called Mr. Pentecost, David Duplessis. And I've shared this with some of you. David Duplessis was born and brought up in South Africa. He was excommunicated from two or three different denominations when he became a pastor. And when he was excommunicated, he didn't understand, and he wrote a book. And I read all his books at that time. So I knew what he had. He had a gift of love for even those that weren't called Christians at the time, or to some people's opinions about that. I had that instant replay in my head. And my buddy had called me, whatever night of the week it was, and said, what are you doing tonight? And I said, nothing really, that as far as I can know, just take a rest because it's been a long day and it's been a rough day. He said, David Duplessis is going to be in Ware, Massachusetts. I almost dropped the phone. I mean, David Duplessis, the author that I respect, the only non-Catholic to attend Vatican II. Think about it. The only non-Catholic that attends Vatican II every session. So I'm excited because I'm a good Catholic, okay? I know that I'm no longer practicing because now I speak in tongues. And I got the Holy Ghost in me and I got the fire of God in me. And oh boy, this is the man that I would have loved to see. And once in a while I'd see him on TV. but it's not like being in the next town. How can this be? So I go to this church, non-Catholic, and I walked in. I was a wee bit late because there was so much going on. There was probably 50 people there. Huge, big church. He began to speak about the economy of the Holy Ghost. He said, does anybody know that the Holy Ghost doesn't waste a nickel? He's economical. The economical Holy Ghost. Well, boy, my ears were perky. You know, I never heard that Holy Ghost was economical, that he was, you know, concerned about finances and so on. He said, do you see this big church right now? And of course, you couldn't help it. He said, look at the little tiny crew in this huge cathedral. He said, that's not economy. That's a waste of money. He said, but God's going to fill it up. And God's going to fill this church. And he began to speak about God's plan versus man's plan. He said, man's plan is closing down churches and the Holy Ghost is going to fill them. Today, I can say, St. Anne's Church in Three Rivers, Massachusetts, okay, was sold to a Holy Ghost group of people that started off in Munson. And they now own the church that I was married in and that my sons were baptized in. And it's full of Holy Ghost power. And they're doing a great job. But the chancellery had to basically give it away. And I've got all this going through my head. And I can remember he's advertising, David Duplessis is advertising his new book. So I'm excited. I want a copy of the new book, right? So we all go downstairs after he gets done preaching. And I stood in line, bought a book. And I come up. Stand up, Mike. I come up to him and he's standing right here. And he looks at me and I hand him my book to him to autograph it. Because that's going to be a real good thing for me, right? He takes my book, lays it on the table, opens his coat pocket, grabs an envelope, and says, here, go read this and come back. Well, now I'm expecting normal treatment. Why? You know, he looked at me and he says, you're Catholic, right? We're not in a Catholic church. And I thought, well, maybe it's printed on my forehead. But I wasn't aware of the word of knowledge that I am today. So I walked away and I'm trembling. I'm literally trembling. I mean, you know, this is like, you know, a celebrity moment. Almost like this guy on TV, right? Yeah. What am I gonna do? So I'm walking away and I go to my group, okay? My buddy, his wife, and my wife's girlfriend, and so on. Irene didn't come, but her girlfriend came. And I'm trembling and I'm opening the letter, and guess what it says? It's from the Pope. The letter is from the Pope. Well, now I'm trembling even more. And it's David Duplessis' invitation that he has every 5 years to meet with the Pope on a private basis. Why is he giving it to me? What the heck is wrong with me? Is there something wrong with me? Is this Catholic label showing that much? You know, I was trembling. And I'm showing them this letter, and they're just as baffled as I was. But the Holy Spirit reminded me, did I not visit Vatican II? I said, oh my God, forgive me. What am I saying to you now? I'm saying Holy Ghost moments are going to be impregnated into you. They're going to be stamped with His approval. And they're made and considered and chosen to be done by love. That moment brought me back to, you would have defended the Catholic Church at that time. Now you were ready to criticize and you were shutting them out. Don't do it. Decisions driven by fear will bring wrong, destructive results. Decisions made by love are going to create a body of Christ that will do the work in the earth that God's kingdom is being established, and it will bring peace, love, and joy. It will bring peace, love, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I rest my case. So much for the shutting up department, right? Nobody's very loud right now. But you understand, that moment with that man created something in me that God was actually pre-educating me about his plan for me rather than my own. So.